Did you know, according to the American Psychiatric Association, nearly 30% of Americans will experience anxiety at some point in their life? Megan Gallagher is one of those people. After seeking help for her own anxiety in high school, Megan turned to helping others. Now, at 25 years old, she's a two-time TED Talk speaker, three-time author, host, and writer, all with one goal: to promote mental health awareness and treatment. I talked with Megan about how we can overcome our anxiety in quarantine. This is our conversation.
's just going to be such long ripple effects of mental health issues amongst people of all ages. But I really think people are just, you know, I don't know how long COVID is going to like last, and maybe like 2 years or 5 years until things are like really in a different space. But it breaks my heart because so many people are really struggling with anxiety and depression and suicidal thoughts and just feeling alone and isolated. And for so many people, they've had to, you know, adjust their jobs and adjust so many different parts of their life. So it's just been so uncomfortable, and people have had to like grow and just all these different things. But I feel like I personally have been doing my best of every single day, making sure that I'm focusing on what I'm grateful for and focusing on what I can control versus what is out of my control, because it's so easy to go down the rabbit hole of, oh my gosh, you know, why me? And oh, that didn't happen and all these things. But it's also so much more productive to go down the other path of, okay, you know, what is working out in my life right now? Like, it can literally be as simple as, today I woke up really early and I had a great morning routine, or I had enough time to send these emails, like whatever it may be. It's just really, really, really powerful when you just, you know, make that decision and make that choice of, no matter what happens, whether we're in COVID or in a different season in our life, I'm going to choose, you know, the path that just allows me to reach my best potential, even in a global pandemic.
Yeah. I feel like one of the positives too with this has been, it's making it so we are forced to have discussions about mental health, because I think, especially like within your field of advocacy, one of the biggest things is it doesn't get treated because it's not talked about. Like for me, I was 15 when I was diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder, which is basically like anything can trigger my anxiety. But when I started talking to a therapist about it, we traced it back to like, I had my first panic attack when I was three. So that's 12 years of not knowing what it is. So you can't get the coping mechanisms. But I feel like now I constantly see it in the national news. I see people talking about it online. It's kind of like, it's something we're all being forced to reckon with.
That's just so powerful what you just said, Megan, because it's like, so many people suffer and live with and cope with mental health issues, the whole entire spectrum. And so many people suffer in silence, and they feel that there's a stigma and that it's bad to ask for help, or that it's shameful. Or like, I just remember my own experience when I was a teenager in high school. That's when my anxiety was like through the roof. Like every day I was having up to 20 panic attacks, you know, in my classes, and I would have to ask my teacher, can I go to the bathroom? And it was just, I remember having a moment where I just kind of had a light bulb click, and I thought, okay, there has to be a way better quality of life I could be living, because this just is not it. You know, this to me is not how someone should feel on a normal day-to-day basis. So my heart just breaks, because I think there are so many people right now who are at home working in school, and they're doing the best that they can, yet they feel so alone, and they feel like, just, you know, even though time is moving forward, I think anxiety can be such a liar, because anxiety makes you feel like, you know, it's never going to, like, this is for me, at least, my anxiety makes me feel this way. It makes me feel that it's never going to get better. Like, you're just always going to be this person who did that, who, and I, my mind tends to want to go backwards when, you know, I keep on taking positive actions and healthy steps to go forwards. for me, I know when I'm having anxiety, it's because my mind is stuck in the past or just dwelling on, oh, I should have done that right. And that turned out weird. And I'm like, mind, hello, we're moving forward. So to me, that's just what my anxiety feels like.
Yeah, I love that. Anxiety is a liar. I've heard fear is a liar before, but that's a good one too.
Yeah, it's seriously anxiety. I think anxiety and depression are similar yet different, because anxiety is, to me, it's just this internal like tingling feeling of like, I'm just going to die in this moment. Like nothing is right. My heart's going to give out, all these things. And then to me, I've never had major depression, but definitely in this pandemic, I have felt total, you know, waking up in the morning and wanting to have a great day. And I felt a part of me just, you know, wants to lie in bed and watch Netflix and kind of, but I literally pulled myself out and I'm like, nope, you want to be proud of yourself. We're making the best out of this pandemic. So to me, it's just holding myself accountable and knowing that every time, you know, I do send an email and I drink warm water with lemon, like whatever it is, it sounds cheesy, but it really does make a difference. And I think just knowing that every time you do wake up early and you get enough sleep and you take vitamins and you eat a healthy meal, it really does make a difference. And just knowing that you should be proud of yourself every time you choose in the morning, when you wake up, you choose to just go again and to live your best life and to be your best self again. That's just something I really hold myself, you know, highly towards.
You kind of touched on this a little bit, but going back to the beginning, how did you transition from realizing mental health was something you wanted to work on in your own life to wanting to help other people?
I would say for me, mental health is just near and dear to my heart. And it really goes back to that experience when I was a teenager. And it's something where when, you know, as young as 12 years old, I remember being in seventh grade and I remember just having these moments throughout class. And I would be sitting there and my teacher would just, you know, be teaching a lesson or talking about the homework that's due tomorrow. And I all of a sudden would notice, I felt like I was blacking out and I would forget everything that the teacher was talking about. And I just would kind of like come back to the moment. And I would also get sweaty palms and my whole entire body would be tingling and shaky. And then I never knew what was going on. And it lasted about a minute and a half. And I would think, okay, that's weird. It's over. And then it would come back again in, you know, the next class. And I did not know what it was. So for me, when I entered high school, I called them episodes because I still was not educated on mental health. But when I got into high school, these episodes really started getting more intense and they happened more often. And it was every single class, and I had seven classes, and it was so embarrassing. I have vivid memories of, you know, just putting my hands in my sweatshirt pocket and hiding them and just feeling like, oh my gosh, I have to keep a poker face because I don't want, you know, any of the cute guys in my class, or I don't want people to see me freaking out, but I feel like I'm literally going to have a heart attack. And I thought it was a stroke and I did not know what a panic attack was. And then when I was 14 years old is when I decided, and I really asked my parents for help, because they were, you know, super sweet and they weren't, you know, doing an intervention or anything, but I just felt, okay, so, you know, I definitely need help, and this isn't the best quality of life I could be living. Because it was affecting, you know, my eating habits and my social life and every part of my life. My grades were just slipping in high school. And I was like, there has to be an answer because this just isn't okay.
As someone who speaks to so many people and gives a lot of advice, I'm curious, what's the best piece of advice that you've gotten on your mental health journey?
Oh my gosh. Okay. I have so many tips. So the first time I saw a therapist, I was 14 years old, and now I'm 25 and I still have a therapist. I talk with her every single week and it's something that I love. And I think therapy is so amazing. So I would say the best tip I have ever received regarding my mental health, would be I would say it's just being in the present moment. And it sounds really cheesy, and sometimes people are like, oh, that doesn't work, but it really does. And I notice that for me, my mind tends to wander a lot. And although I don't get, you know, panic attacks like I did when I was younger, and my anxiety is a lot better, I still have moments where my mind races and then I kind of feel just so all over the place in 4,000 places at once. So for me, something that always helps me is actively really focusing on what is physically around me. So really, like really just using my mental power, we're focusing on, you know, there's a microphone, there's a purse, there's a camera, I'm talking with Megan. Today is January 6th, like listing just times and what day it is and where I am and what I'm wearing always helps me kind of come back to the present moment. And I'm like, okay, I feel a lot better.
Yeah, I feel like one of the biggest indicators for you on your personal journey with anxiety is that you've gotten to like where you were in high school to now being able to get up during the middle of a pandemic and move to a brand new city where you don't know anyone. What has that journey been like for you?
Oh my gosh. This journey has been really eye-opening in a lot of different ways, and not just with, you know, me moving here, but also my personal life, my career. I've learned so many things that I did not experience in LA. And I would say it's been those, you know, everyone has those moments where it's like, you feel like you're having physical growing pains. Your body is growing and shifting and moving. And I feel like I've had so many emotional growing pains, and I've been, you know, continuously every single day just moving forward and, you know, really making smart choices. But I honestly think that my move to Nashville during this COVID pandemic, I really think it was the best thing I could have ever done. And I think that is such a really powerful tip for anyone listening. If you are in any season of your life, it's just to not overthink it. Because when I moved from LA, it was literally within 2 weeks. You know, I came here in July, loved it, had friends here, and they invited me to some parties and I just fell in love. And then went back to LA within 2 weeks, I was fully moved out of my, like I just did it. And I think that's the best thing in life with anything, any idea, project, dream you have, is just to stop worrying about how it's gonna happen or what if, or I don't know. Because we have to realize that as human beings, what we tell ourselves in our inner story, it really manifests. So if you, you know, we have to be aware of, you know, what are my thoughts today? Because they clearly are manifesting whatever is going on in my reality. So for me, I just, you know, picked up my stuff, moved. And then that's just how I've lived my life with my business too. When I was 18 years old, I just started, you know, I just self-published books. I didn't worry about, oh, it has to be perfect, or how am I going to do this? So I think it taught me in life that just once again, kind of reinstilled that you just start and you just go, and you will learn along the way and you will get to where you need to be. But just starting and putting yourself out there is, I think, the best way that we can grow as humans.
I feel like that also ties into the idea of controlling the controllable, which has been so big in the past year.
I think that's a huge trigger for a lot of people. It's when there are so many things outside of our individual control. And obviously right now, you know, there's the election stuff, there's COVID, there's the stress of the new year. And a lot of people feel, oh my gosh, you know, if I don't drop 10 pounds by January this, then it's over. And there's just so much like stress and all these things going on right now on the planet. So I think it's really powerful to make lists, you know, every single day, make lists of things you can control versus what is out of your control, and really focusing your attention on what is in your individual power. Because like I said, the main cause of anxiety is when you feel out of control. So for a lot of people, they have a fear of, you know, going on flights and being on an airplane or going on roller coasters. And that actually scientifically all comes back to a fear of losing control or a fear of not having control. Same with, you know, people having a fear of death or dying. It's just in the human mind, we naturally thrive in our comfortable routines, but when you put yourself out of it, you go into fight or flight mode because your body is, you know, wanting to protect and survive and expecting the worst. But it's important to remind yourself, hey, you know what though? I'm still breathing. Like I got up today. I woke up, I worked out, I'm dressed. Like it's clearly going to be a good day. You know, there's no actual fear. There's no actual danger. It's just anxiety creates that.
That was my conversation with Megan. Make sure to give her a follow at Megan W. Gallagher so you can check out her upcoming mental health workbook for young adults. If you or a loved one needs immediate mental health help, you can text HOME to Crisis Text Line at 741-741 or call the Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255. I'm going to link more resources for you in the show description as well. Until next time, remember you're loved, you matter, and you've got this.